Amen. God is good, and all the time, God is good. Hey, thanks for being with us this morning. Welcome to Echo Hills. My name's Jeff Chavez. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm blessed you're here. I know our leadership team and the people sitting around you are blessed you're here. If this is a new environment for you, we just want to invite you to come and discover all that God's doing. There are things happening that I'm not even aware of. That might sound like poor leadership, but honestly, the Spirit of the Lord is doing such a great work, and we're so excited about things we're seeing and things that are going on, and we get testimonies of it. And so if you're carrying a testimony of things that God's doing in your life or the adventure that He has you on, we want those testimonies. We love testimonies. There's a little way to give us testimonies in your bulletin. There's a little QR code. Just use your smartphone, take a picture of it, or don't take the picture, just put your camera on it. It'll pop up and take you to a little form you can fill out and just give us your testimonies. If that's way too much technical involvement as far as, you know, the digital world, then just come find me and just give us your testimony. But we do like to record them and have them so that we can keep them before us, because we're all carrying some form of testimony. Amen? Amen. So before I'm just going to pause for a moment. I just want to spend a little bit of time just kind of blessing some of you and ministering, blessing all of you and ministering to all of you, not just some of you. All of you are going to get blessed. But I just have a few things. Did anybody lose a ring this week? Are you missing a ring? Did somebody misplace or lose a ring? Oh, praise God. So I saw your hand kind of go up, but raise your hand. Okay, this is a word of the Lord. So I don't have the ring, just so you know. You lost it last Sunday? 3 weeks ago. Okay, so the rest of you aren't going to get blessed, but these two are. I felt I heard the Lord just say, I'm bringing it back. I have a ring that you've lost, and I'm bringing it back. And so in the name of Jesus, I just pray for the lost rings and this witness right here. In the name of Jesus, we just say, bring it back wherever it is. Everybody check under your seat right now. Maybe it fell. Now, we do vacuum and clean up. But Lord, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I felt like as the Lord was bringing it back, it comes with a declaration of a greater revelation of covenant. And so I don't know that it was a wedding ring, or it doesn't need to be a wedding ring. I didn't see a wedding ring. I just saw the Lord and heard the Lord just say, I'm bringing it back, and I'm bringing it back, and I'm showing you a greater revelation of covenant. And so this is where the rest of you get blessed. If you want greater revelation of covenant, just seize this. Father, we thank you for greater revelation of covenant, the greater revelation of who we are in your eyes, and how you love us, and how you minister to us. And Father, out of that love and out of that covenant comes our ability to worship you and give you the glory and praise your name. And so we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. And really quickly, while I'm looking around, where did you go, Deanna? Deanna, we'll just pay attention to see if we find a ring, if it was lost in here. We didn't find one, right? Not yet. So rings are coming back in the name of Jesus, except for those rings that are in the ear, right? We don't want any of those. Those can go right now in the name of Jesus. The other word of knowledge that I felt as we were worshiping is, and this is a little different, so I don't know how to, I'll just give it the way I heard it, is who needs it to be a new day? You just know, like, I need a new day. And I'm not talking about Sunday. I'm just talking about, like, I just need a new day. And maybe that word is specific. Okay, yeah, yes, amen, 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 amen. Yeah, amen. So when we see new day, you know, Jesus brought us a new day, right? He came, and after he got out of the grave and spent 40 days with the disciples and ate bread with them, walked through walls, did all the awesome stuff, taught them, he ascended and told them to tarry, told them to wait, told them to linger, don't go. And then on the day of Pentecost, 10 days later, 50 days, he gave us his Spirit. And we call it Pentecost, we call it the baptism of the Spirit. And he poured out his Spirit, and it began a new day. But that new day is also a new era. It's a new, what we could call a new season, if you think of the four seasons. So it's not just limited to, you know, Sunday. It's a new season, and that's what I felt like the Lord was saying, but the words he gave me is call out those that need a new day. And so those of you that raised your hand and some of you that are now kind of getting maybe some insight and revelation into just like, well, what do you mean? I want to ask you just to stand for a moment if you want to receive this. Those that raised their hand or those that, if you're able to stand, and those that just feel like, you know what? Yes, it's time for a new season. It's time for a new day. And here's the thing that's different about the new day, that it is marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Not to say that any of you haven't been walking that way or haven't received that or whatever. It's just recognizing a greater submission, a greater stewardship, a greater relationship with the Spirit of God. And so in the name of Jesus, Father, you see these postured men and women standing before you saying, Lord, I receive the new day. I receive a recognition that you are giving us a new day. That, Father, that today, Lord, Sunday, marks again a changing of the guard, a changing of the season, a changing of the times, a changing of what is laid ahead. And I believe that it's even part of the destiny and part of the plans and purposes that, Lord, today there would be a response to calling out, I receive a new day. And so, each of you that have stood, each of you that have postured your heart and said yes to the Lord's invitation to receive a new day, I pray that your words would be, Lord, I thank you for the new day. I receive the new day and all that comes with this new day in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Can we just honor the Lord and thank him? You may have a seat. You know, that may seem real simple. It may not seem super profound, but there's something about willingness to step out in faith and just go, yeah, Lord, if, and some of you may have been using that terminology, Lord, it's like I need a new day. I'm ready for a season change. I'm ready for something different. And some of you this week who didn't stand will recognize, oh, this is what it looks like. This is what's unfolding. Because in that new day, there's breakthrough, like we don't understand sometimes. There's favor that just Jacqueline and the team were talking about from glory to glory. And that's all part of the new day that all of us in Christ Jesus have been granted. But there's times and seasons when we recognize, like, Lord, you're doing something, you're birthing something, you've promoted something in my spirit that now needs to move through my soul, my emotions, my thoughts, and get my feet moving in the natural so that I can walk in it. And that's what I'm praying for, and that's what I'm believing in this moment for many of you that stood, but also for those of you that are receiving it. And so, amen. A testimony? John, you got a testimony. Come on up. Being put on the spot by Pastor Mike, you can't say no. Awesome. Step right up here.
I guess the Blessed Life.
Oh, but the book.
The book. I had the digital version on my phone, started reading it. We just got back from Mexico late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. Read it a little bit down there and really enjoying it. I think I'm only a few chapters in, but I can't remember if it was Thursday morning or Friday morning. I woke up to a text message from a retired coworker who said, Luke doesn't want to buy my guitar anymore, so I want to gift it to you. And I immediately remembered that when my family was here last September for the memorial service that I gave an amp and guitar to my nephew, and that just like popped in my head like, oh. So now I got to figure out if I'm going to keep it or find somebody to give it away to.
Amen. Come on. So let me just add to that. So for those of you who are kind of missing a few details, I challenged you a few weeks ago to get a book that I was making available called The Blessed Life. Many of you have picked those up. Those of you that asked for it last week, they're on order. We'll have them next Sunday. But one of the things that I shared in my testimony and the testimony of The Blessed Life, the book, is about understanding how God can never, we can never outgive God. And that when we give, we actually create space for God to then plant something in. And I had shared that we've been blessed to be able to give away quite a few cars, and we've received more cars than we've given away free. John is talking about a time when he gave away a guitar, and now he's receiving something. And I'm going to guess it probably has a little bit more value because, again, this is the other nature of God. It's always bigger and better. And so I don't know if you've ever played that game in youth ministry where you knock on a door and you start off with a paperclip and you say, hey, Do you have anything bigger or better? And we've done it around here a few times, and they have towed cars in to the parking lot that don't run. Somebody wanted to get rid of a junk car, and they thought to some youth kid, like, oh, bigger and better, a junker. And then we get stuck, like, well, I don't know what to do with it. But the kid's thinking, like, this is great. I started off with a paperclip, and I'm now having a car towed to the church parking lot. Bigger or better. It's the kingdom of God and the way he works. And so with that, would you bow your hearts with me? Lord, we love the testimonies. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, thank you, thank you that we can never outgive you. And Father, even when we give in the smallest sense out of obedience, out of love, out of generosity, you see it. You see it and you cause things to start to move. And so I pray that, Father, in this house, finances would begin to move towards abundance. Debts would be paid off. Lord, the stewardship of our expenses and being content and recognizing what we have to give would be made aware to us. That, Lord, we'd be capable of making room in such a manner that, Lord, we would not just bless others, but then we would be the recipients of your blessing. And so, Lord, we thank you for this house. We thank you for the tithes and the offerings this morning. We thank you for the wisdom upon our elders and our teams that steward the finances in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. But right now, go ahead and grab your Bibles and your journals and welcome Pastor Mike as he comes up this morning and gets us in the Word. Amen.
Hey, little risk right now. I got here early this morning and was just worshiping. And as I was worshiping the Lord, it was like an internal, but it was a trumpet. And the thought was this: I don't need another service. I need a touch from God. Amen. And so Jeff was tapping into some stuff that I had kind of already thought. But there's this place of, we go to church and we hear the word and we worship God. But the reality of his touch can change something that takes humankind weeks and months and years, and he can do something in a moment. How many believe that? So, who would say, I know we've already prayed for some folk today, but it's more than just standing. I feel like there's some folks here that needs, as Jesus said, you shall lay your hands on them, and they will get well. That there's something about that point of connection in prayer that it's mysterious, because we're not healers, we're not deliverers, but we are conduits of grace. So here's my risk. Who this morning says, Mike, I didn't come for a service. I just really could use a touch from God, and I just need someone to agree with me. And that could be a touching of hands. That could be. So would you do something that's the old agey way? Would you come forward to the altar? If you raise your hand, you say, Mike, I need a touch. Come on. That's the step of faith. Come on. Come on up right here. And where is Chad and Heather and Jerry and Jeff and Jacqueline and Deb and okay, yay. We are going to, would you guys come? Would you come? We're going to agree with you because the Father really knows what you need. If any of our elders are here, you can join as well, or our team in the back, if, you know, come and. And what do I like? Alexandria, and would you guys come? I want everyone to have somebody with them. Brian, everyone has just someone with them. And all we're doing is saying, we're agreeing with you. We don't know what the Lord's going to do, but we're going to agree with you that it's going to be good. He knows the burden you're carrying. He's not caught off guard by your need. And he's heard the cry of your heart. And his answer to you is yes. So all you're doing right now in the front, you're just receiving. You're just receiving right now. All you're doing is take a deep breath, and you're just receiving the goodness of God. What we've been singing about, all you're doing is that a loving Father is saying yes to you right now. Hey, Tara Pedersen, could you come? I've got right over here at the very end. I want everybody has someone with you. Yeah. So what's happening is the Lord is touching someone deeply. Touching us all deeply. We're saying yes and amen to that. Family, we are not spectators. We are participators because we're family. Would you just begin to pray, if you're not already, would you just begin to pray that God would bless his kids? Some have been carrying wounds for a long time, and this is your new day. This is the day the Lord has made, and you're going to rejoice like you've never rejoiced before, and you're going to be glad in it. The cry of your children, Father. The cry of your children, Father. There are things that have been spoken to others for prayer, and there's things that have been hidden deep in the heart because they didn't have words to describe what's going on. But Lord, you hear the cry of the heart. And we make space for you right now. Family, would you, if you would, extend your hand this way? It's just a faith expression saying, we are with you and we're praying for you and we're agreeing with you. Would you do that all across this room in the name of Jesus? Put his name on your lips. Begin the name of Jesus, Lord God. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're welcome to do what you do best. We just cover in prayer right now. We just surround them in prayer right now. Some of you, you've been under a spiritual attack and you've prayed in the name of Jesus and you've done all that you've known to do, but you can't seem to get out of that loop. You can't seem to get out of that headspace. You can't seem to get out of it, and you've done everything you can. But now we're coming into the power of agreement where two or three agree as touching anything, it shall be done by my Father. And we're agreeing for your freedom, and we're agreeing for your joy, and we're agreeing for your healing in the name of Jesus. We're agreeing for the Holy Spirit to so fill you right now that it is your new day. It is your new day. This isn't a false hope. Well, I've heard that before and I've tried it before. This is the new day. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let hope arise right now, Father. Let hope arise. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength. Let the peace that passes understanding guard their hearts and minds. Let the love of the Father cast out all fear right now. Let their bodies be made whole. Let their minds be renewed. Let their hearts be strengthened with courage. And we stand with our brothers and sisters. They're not alone. We stand with them. You may feel something, you may not. It's not based on a feeling, it's based on what he says. What he declares. Let truth, even now, Lord, set free the hearts of your people into the new day. Could you all, in the congregation, I always stand, could you stand again? And can we just sing these words? And I will rejoice, and I will rejoice, and be glad. It's a choice of the will this morning. And I will rejoice, I will rejoice. Come on, declare with a loud voice, and be glad. Do it again by faith. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. Can we give the Lord a praise right now for what he's doing? Thank you. Thank you. High five someone out there, hug someone around here, and just bless them in the name of the Lord. And say, man, I'm praying for you. I am praying for you. I am praying for you. I am praying for you. Yeah. I love the interaction. Talk if you want. If you have your Bibles, we'll just let them keep ministering. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I felt, Jeremy?
I have wanted to share this for so long, and I have shared with some of you. We've been going here for 26 years, and a few years ago, a man and his wife came in, Paul and Jerry Cooper, and God just proved to me how he's had his hand on my life and each one of us. Talking to them, I found out that they had been from the same church background I had in a different location, and I found out that he had girls in Sunday school, in his Sunday school class that I knew from church camp and college. And so that just brought me, you know, clear around all these connections. Then he mentioned the name of his roommate in college because I went to the same college. It turns out when I go home and looking in my baby book, the name of his roommate's parents had given my parents a baby gift for me 67 years ago. So this connection, you know, God hasn't let me go, and he won't.
Amen. Thank you. Isn't that cool? I love how the kingdom of God is expansive, but it's really intimate as well. So I'm going to share just, I know we got some kids here, so I want to be aware of that and sensitive to that. So I've got about an hour and a half. Yeah, say, oh, please, God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses, just three verses. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that is done in the body by the hands of men, remember that all that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise without hope and without God in the world. But now, say but now.
But now.
Jeff likes the but word. But now, and it's through Ephesians, sorry. In Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. How many remember, or maybe you still have one, label guns? The plastic joy where you got the disc on top with numbers and letters, and now comes that tape, right? And it's different colors, and the letters are raised, and you stick it right there, right? I mean, anybody have letter guns anymore? I mean, now there's label. Oh, I know there's label makers now. I've seen them. They're just like, and all, and not like the label gun, man. That label plastic thing was a joy. It was so much fun. Well, I remember that because when we had our weekend with the pastors, Jeff and Jacqueline shared while they were gone. I think it was Jeff's sisters. Jacqueline's sister stayed at their house while they were gone, and lovingly, she did this while they were gone. Do we have the pictures? Are they not working? Are they? Oh, I'm going home. So Jacqueline's sister went through her cupboards and started labeling everything in the house. So all of her dishwasher detergent, all of her sponges, and she put them in these organizational jars and put labels on them, right? And it was just wonderfully done. It was great. And labels and organization, in fact, when you talk about labels and organization, how many is having a religious experience right now where you're going, oh, baby, you're talking my language. Let's put everything in its place. Let's put everything in its box. Let's make right? Labels and organization and categories are important because it takes similar things and organizes them in these similar spots so that you know how to find them. So organization and labels and categories are great, except when it comes to people. And yet, we can do this quite frequently. Slap a label on them, and we know everything about them because of the label. And I started writing down labels, and I had to stop because I could spend the rest of my time just going about labels. But I'm going to give you a few to see if you can identify with them, okay, how we label people. You ready? Are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? Are you a liberal Democrat and a conservative Republican? Because if you're one of those, I know everything about you. Because we know you conservative Republicans and we know you're liberal Democrats. Or maybe you're one of those independents that kind of gets feet in both, you know, you're not going to commit to anybody. You want them to, like, hey, come on, woo my vote. Or those libertarians who think all government should just be gone. That was Dia Hibden for those of you who are watching. Right? If you are this, we label you, we know all about you. Or maybe you are from the greatest generation, or the silent generation, or the boomer generation, which I am, or you're the Gen X, or the millennials. That all they do is sleep in their, oh, there we go, finally. Look at that. Isn't that just beautiful? Labels. Cleaners. Stone cleaner. Sorry, my mind went somewhere else. And on the left, if you didn't know that, those are plastic containers. How many jokes have been made about millennials who stay in their mom's basement and all they do is play video games? Right? It's not a joke. Well, now they're Gen Z, and my grandkids, they are Generation Alpha. So they are already labeled, okay? Now, our society doesn't do it alone. We do this as well. Oh, you're a Christian. Well, what kind of Christian are you? Are you a Baptist? A Southern Baptist, American Baptist Association, American Baptist of Churches USA, or Alliance Baptist, and there's more. Or you're a Pentecostal. Well, are you Assemblies of God? Are you Foursquare? Are you Apostolic Church, Church of God Cleveland, Church of God in Christ, United Pentecostal? Are you a Charismatic? And soon as you get labeled, we know exactly what you are. Or maybe you're a Methodist or a Presbyterian. Well, those Methodists and Presbyterians, they're just liberal. And we begin to label people, and we don't get to know them as people. We just label them. Deb and I, when we were quite a bit younger, our son Josh played American Legion baseball. And because of the commitment of the parents, because it wasn't just the boys playing ball, we had to work hard so that they could play ball. Besides going to support their game. So it brought these parents together for a window of time, and we actually got pretty close in this window of time. And so one of the couples came to us after we built a relationship with them, talked with them, and they said, hey, we're thinking about going to church or going back to church. I can't remember. And they said, you're pastors, right? And we go, yeah. And they said, where do you pastor? And at the time it was, well, we pastor Valley Christian Center. And they said, oh, wait, that's a Pentecostal church, isn't it? And I said, well, we're the Assemblies of God, and that's kind of an expression. They go, well, we don't believe in that tongue stuff. So it went from a conversation to awkward, and what started with a relationship ended with a label. And how often we step in and out of relationships just because of a label. Now, I say this for two reasons. I bring this up as one, let's not be those people. Let us be people who are committed to relationship. And number two, this is not unique to us, but Paul had to deal with it in extreme measure, but his labels were not Republican and Democrat. His labels were this: you're a Jew, you're a Gentile. And the Jew and the Gentile, for centuries, never meshed until Paul came into a city and began to preach the gospel first to the Jew. He'd go to the synagogues, and often they would listen to him and go, hey, that's awesome, until they talk about Christ and his resurrection and his shed blood. And then they say, and Paul goes, okay, my obligation is done. I'm now going to the Gentiles. And these Gentiles, they open their heart by the thousands, and they're coming to know Christ. Now, here's a problem. now going to the same church are not Republicans and Democrats. There's Jews and Gentiles. And they did not mix. It's like oil and water. They don't mix together. And Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus that labels that we carry can isolate us and put up walls between us when that wall has been broken by the person of Jesus Christ. That no longer do we look at people through the lens of a label, we look at them through the heart of God that says, are you a follower of Jesus? Then guess what? You're my brother, you're my sister, even if you're a libertarian. So Paul says these words. He says in verse, he gives this list of this labels, this what these Gentiles were before Christ. And listen to what he says about him. He says, one, you are separate from Christ. You are excluded from citizenship in Israel. You are foreigners to the covenants of the promise. And that word foreigner is an alien that lives in a place but has no rights in that place. Because they were Gentiles, because they were not the chosen people, they were a people that were separated from God. And he also says, you were without hope and without God in the world. So it was the Jews who had the covenant promises. It was the Jews who had the prophets. It was the Jews who had the word. It was the Jews that God chose and said, you're going to be my expression in the world. You are my chosen people. And the Gentiles, you are out. But now through Christ, the Gentiles are in. But they're still being treated like they're out. And so when Paul says you are being called uncircumcised by those of the circumcision, that wasn't a declaration of anatomy. This was a derisive word that says the Jews would go around and go, look at those uncircumcised, those stupid uncircumcised. He wasn't again talking about the anatomy of a man. They were talking about the separation between us and them. And Paul says to them in this chapter 2, the rest of chapter 2, and we're only going to cover 3 verses. Paul says, remember that you were Gentiles by birth. Were they still Gentiles by birth? Absolutely they were. But that's not defines us anymore. We're defined by verse 13, where Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. That what makes us one is not where we grew up. It's not the color of our skin. It's not the language. It's not our experiences. How do you build family? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, amen. No longer are they labeled. And so Paul starts verse 11 with one of my favorite words in the Bible, and it's the word therefore. Because the word therefore connects all that was written here. Now, how do I apply it to my life? So in chapter 1, all that God did to choose us before the foundation of the earth, that in love he predestined us to be adopted as his children, all that God did that before there was a let there be light, God already had you in mind, and he was calling you to himself. And therefore, not only is it for the chosen people, but it's for you Gentiles as well. So all the promises we're going to look at in a moment, all the promises that God had for the chosen people now is for everybody because of therefore. God did this great work. Now in Christ, we're no longer far away, now we're near. Paul, if you go with me to Ephesians chapter 3, which is one page over, what is amazing is Paul is revealing something that was in the heart of God before there was an earth. And Paul is going to write to us, and he's going to tell us something. This mystery that God kept from us, from the world, has now been revealed to us through the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. So God had this desire in his heart before there was let there be light, but it was a mystery. So all these prophets, all these Old Testament prophets would see something, but they couldn't get the clear picture. They couldn't fully understand it, but they saw something that was coming. And Paul says, by the Spirit, I now can tell you what this mystery is. And let's read it together in Ephesians chapter 3. He says in verse 2, surely you have heard about the ministration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Here it is, verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. You and I, God loves the diversity of us, but we're one. Amen. So if we label you as old or young or ignorant or not very smart or la 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 la, we put these labels on that are not God's labels. What God says is this: in Christ, you are not this. In Christ, you are this. Let's keep going. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Because Paul, and I'm almost done. Truly, I am. As the Lord Jesus is my witness, I'm almost done. Verse 26. Paul says, you are all sons of God. Now listen, I am a son of God, and I'm also the bride of Christ. So you got to understand that. When God says, you're the son of God, ladies, it doesn't mean you're out. It means he's talking about humanity. He's talking about everybody. So I'm okay being the bride of Christ and the son of God. Okay? So you are all sons of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, having clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, man. Ladies, we have treated you as second-class citizens in the church for too long. It's like, you know what? You have a place as long as it's behind a male. And I might get in trouble for this, but send the emails to Jeff. He loves dealing with this kind of stuff. In Christ, we are not like, I'm the man, and you're the woman. Were there slaves and were there free men as Paul was talking? Absolutely there were. There were still slaves in Paul's day, but we don't identify by a label. We are identified by the person of Jesus Christ. So the way in which we look at each other is not, man, are you a woman? Do you have anything to bring? Because you're a woman. Because, hey, you're a different color. You're a different ethnicity. You're different. You have nothing to offer me because of the label. We have got to get beyond labels and come to that place of recognizing, are you my brother? Are you my sister in Christ? That's what we have to go after. And Paul's trying to get this to us. Look at one more. Colossians. Go to your right a little bit more. Colossians. Paul's writing in verse chapter 3. He's writing about taking off the old self and putting on the new self. That we are no longer living with the old mindsets, but we have put your heart and mind on things above. He's talking about a people who put aside the sinful nature, right? So let's read it together. We're going to read verse 5. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. If you want to know about that, Revelation class, 5 o'clock, we'll go after it. Verse 7, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. This is how we used to walk. We used to walk this way. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as anger and rage and malice, slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. And then in verse 11, he goes, here, in this place of new creation, in this place where we're saying yes to righteousness, yes to holiness, and no to the sinful nature, in that very place, Paul says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, there's my word, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with one another, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What's he talking about? Because we come from different backgrounds, because we have different histories, because we have different beliefs, and we are now living in the same space, the odds that we're going to get on each other's nerves are pretty high. We're not going to see alike. We're not going to think alike. We all have different experiences. You've come from a different church background. You've come from a different family background. You've come from all these different backgrounds. And so Paul says, because you are saying yes to Christ and putting off your old self, here in that place, also be patient with each other. Bear with each other. Be kind to each other. Because you're going to not like each other sometimes. So church isn't this place where it's just this holy cocoon where we all sing kumbaya and braid each other's hair. This is a place where we get to learn how to love people, for those of us who have hair. We're going to get to love each other when we have different backgrounds, different experiences, different hurts, different desires. And Paul says, how do you do that? If you're going to be a new creation, therefore, be kind to each other. Be patient with each other. Bear with each other. Deb and I came from our church in Las Vegas, and it was the International Church of Las Vegas. We had 15 or more different nationalities in our church, unlike what I look at today. And so we had two brothers, friends of mine, African American, and I remember one Sunday morning, one came this way and one came from behind, and they grabbed me, and they said, Pastor Mike, you're the center of our Oreo cookie. Okay, let me stretch it a little bit more. You like that one? Let's see if you go, oh my. One of them came to me on a Sunday morning. He goes, Pastor Mike, what are you doing this week? I go, oh, I have some time. What do you want to do? He goes, let's go spank Whitey. And I go, what? You want to spank Whitey? He goes, yeah, let's go golfing. I'm on for that one. Not as quite much laughter on that one. Did you notice that? There's kind of like a, hey, what, where are we going with this? What's happening? You know what? I didn't look at my brothers like they were black and I was white. Our Egyptian guy, our Persian guy, our Hispanic guy, our Polynesian people. We didn't look at each other like, man, you're Polynesian, you're black. We looked at each other, we're family. And we celebrated the diversity without going, man, can I say black? Is that, you know, is okay to white? Is it? It was we had built such a trust of relationship that we could talk to each other as brothers in Christ, not because of the color of their skin, not because of their background, not because, hey man, I'm going to do this, you do that, and we'll just kind of clash. We learn to love each other. And dear ones, God is calling us to get rid of label makers. I met with a guy this week, and he asked if we could build relationship and talk and do some Bible study. And I said, yeah. And he is from a different theology than me. And I said, you know that I'm a Pentecostal, right? Right? You know that? He goes, well, I had no idea. I go, you still want to meet? He goes, absolutely. Because it's not he's this, I'm that. We're this. Yeah. Amen. So let me close with this verse. Revelation chapter 7. John is seeing heaven, and he's seeing the throne room of God, and this is our future. As we read these words together, this is going to happen for us one day. So I don't want you to think, man, that's cool for them. This is going to be us. We're in this picture. And John sees this picture, and he says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Do you know what heaven's going to be like? Every tribe, every nationality, every tongue, every kin. So it's not going to be a bunch of white people saying in English, "Salvation belongs to our God." It's going to be everybody in their own dialect declaring the praises of God. We're going to be standing next to people who maybe even the dialect doesn't exist anymore. But God remembers them, and they are going to be declaring the praises of God in their own language, in their own tribe, in their own culture. It's going to be us together. You're going to hear the Hebrews begin to sing praise. You're going to hear the Arabs begin to sing praise. You're going to hear the Asians and the Hispanics and Russians, every nationality are going to sing the praises of God to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And if you don't like people, heaven's not the place for you. So when Jesus declares, "Come, kingdom of God, be done, will of God," this is not just a prayer for healing. This is a prayer for unity. This is a prayer where we understand, I'm not going to give up on a relationship because of a label. And that means I might have to spend a little more time, a little more work, getting to know you, getting to understand you, getting to be able to go, "Man, I don't understand why you do this. But you know what? You're my brother. You're my sister. Let me have a relationship. And I'm not just going to label you. You're weird Pentecostals. Let's get out of here." How much we lose on life by just labeling people. So I give you permission to destroy your label maker. Unless it's dear to your heart. As we take communion, as Jeff leads us in a minute in communion, Paul says this, "I can't say anything good about this because you're not recognizing the body of Christ." And most theologians don't believe that he's talking about the blood and the bread. He's talking about each other. I'm not recognizing you. I don't even care about you. I just want to do me. And in God's kingdom, it doesn't work that way. So, before we take communion, Paul says this, let's do an examination of our heart. If you've got a racist thing in you, you need to repent. If you say "those" and you add a nationality to it and you say it like uncircumcised, you have that little "pff" in your voice, "those," you need to repent. Because that's not how God calls us. Those stinking millennials are lazy. That generation, there's a bunch of lazy, good for nothing. Repent. Because that's not how God sees them. Men are just a bunch of no good, suck up, do nothing. Okay, you need to repent. Women are just, you need to repent. Before we take the blood, because what we're saying is, this is what unifies us. It's the blood of Jesus. This is what brings us together. So I can't bring impediments by saying that color, that race, that person, that age, and say, "But Lord, thank you for forgiveness." He's saying repent and then acknowledge this is what brings us together. Pastor Jeff, come on, worship team.
Amen. Can we honor the Lord and Pastor Mike and just thank you, Lord. Yeah, come on. Anybody need a communion cup that wants to take communion this morning? Just raise your hand. We'll get you one. If you already grabbed it, great. So let's just pause for a moment. This is part of what we were talking about last week in the stewardship of the Spirit. We're just allowing the Lord to help us steward and become aware of some of these things. And he may have hit on something that just triggered for you. So let's just take a moment as we prepare to receive the body and blood of Jesus. The other thing that goes along with this that he's alluding to, both in the word but also in the message, is that some of you have been very wounded by the labels others have put on you. Some of you have felt constricted or restrained because you have been labeled, and therefore you've tried to meet the expectations of that label. You've tried to live under that label, which therefore meant great suffering or great sacrifice. Sickness is a form of labels. The doctors, they practice medicine, right? They practice. They don't know all. They're not God. and they give you a diagnosis, and it becomes a label, and some of you have lived under that label. And maybe the conditions are true, maybe the symptoms are true, but again, if it's not from the Lord, what he's saying and what the word is revealing today is that Jesus is our great unifier. Jesus is the one who gets to determine that we're called children. And so prepare your hearts by just taking a moment and just again, in the spirit of where we're at, we thank you, Father, right now for bringing awareness to these places that we need to repent of, these places that we need to take account of, these places that we need to bring before you and find freedom, as well as, Lord, those things and those words and those labels that others have put upon us, and we have felt the woundedness, we have felt the limitations. We forgive them, and we loose them, and we hand them over to you right now. And this may be something that some of you have never done. This may be something that some of you have done countless times. But wherever you're at in that journey, I pray that with faith, you would trust the Lord today in experiencing his love, which brings freedom. And so if you pull the bread out off that top little film, some of you, as you drive away today, will need to have a conversation with your spouse, a healthy conversation that just says, please forgive me, for I know I've labeled you. And for those of you that have felt labeled, you don't get to bring accusation. You don't get to bring your finger out and say, hey, you've labeled me, you've limited me. That's not the spirit of Christ at work. The spirit would be to pray and intercede and trust that the Holy Spirit can speak to them and begin to show them. And it might start by having an open conversation that says, have you ever seen me label you or heard me label you? If so, let's deal with it. And so, Father, we lift up the body of Christ right now, and we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for giving your life as a sacrifice. We thank you that we are made alive through Christ, and that we are made one in Christ through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you're ready, would you receive the body? Thank you, Lord. And you can prepare to receive the juice representing his blood this morning. Father, we thank you that you call us your sons and daughters, that we are made one with you. We are made whiter than the snow. We are washed clean. We are free of any stain of the world. All labels have to bow to the blood of Jesus. For life is in the blood. And we declare that the life we have in Christ Jesus is glorified today in us as we recognize you, as we receive the cup of salvation, and we bring repentance and confession and forgiveness before you and one another. And so, Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do. Do the work that only you can do when we give you place and we give you space. Do the work that brings the restoration. Do the work that brings the glory, not just in my life, but through our lives. And so we receive the cup of blood today, and we declare that we are one in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to close on a song. But I don't want you to lose the holiness of where the word brought us, where Pastor Mike brought us this morning, where communion has again come and been a covenant symbol. For those of you that have received prayer and received ministry, you've heard us say some things this morning, and I just want to make sure you understand. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 9, if you want to go look this up, Joshua and Caleb are giving an account of the promised land. And they're contending against the label makers, that the giants are big and mighty and many. But they make this statement, and this may be pushing the border of some of your guys' faith or acceptance of some of the words in the living word. But they say this: do not rebel against the Lord, in reference to the giants in the promised land. For they, the giants, are our bread. He's not talking about cannibalism. He's talking about what they have eaten in the promised land is rightfully ours. What God has promised us is rightfully ours. And as we advance in his strength, in obedience, and in grace, and in kindness, and in patience, and in mercy, and in love, and in all those things we looked at this morning, in communion, we will, according to the word, we will eat giants for our bread. We will eat their plunder, that which the enemy has thought he could keep from you and I. And so would you stand with me as ones who have a promised land, who have provision and breakthrough that goes beyond what you could ever imagine. And we say to the giants this morning that think they can keep it or hoard it or deceive us and think that it's not rightfully ours, let them fall and let them become our bread this morning. Amen. Amen. Amen.